Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, so we're coming to you from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully, mortgage confidently. The Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a fantastic doubleheader. First, an intense battle in the AFC North. Pittsburgh goes to Cincinnati. Then the NFL's top defense, the Jags, head to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks, at 12 Eastern on CBS. Get on PharrellOnTheBench.com for picks. You got Eagles, G-Men tomorrow, Texas Tech, TCU tomorrow, Saturday, Georgia, LSU, Sunday night, Kansas City, New England. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Major League Baseball playoffs, NHL boxing, MMA, tooth decay, daily fantasy roster. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com. One other thing, episode 39 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One every day, Tuesday through Sundays. Drops tomorrow morning, 6:30 Eastern, episode 39. Check it out. Check it out. Follow me on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. Also, don't forget, we have a podcast that comes out after this show, Pharrell on the Bench, every night after the show on Twitter, at Scott Pharrell, at On the Bench CBS, on Facebook, and on our network website. If you don't know it by now, then I really can't help you. CBSSportsRadio.com. There I helped you. All right. Sean Pendergast is back from afternoons on 610 in Houston. Great station, great host. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Scott. How you doing, man?
I'm chilling. I'm sitting here. I played basketball tonight again. I play a lot of basketball, as you know, and we had a violent game tonight against these monsters, and I'm sitting here with giant bags of ice underneath my feet.
Your feet? What happened to your – is that age?
Or yeah, no, I'm – no, listen, I still got mad game, trust me you, but I have 45 years of basketball feet. So, in other words, I have plantar fascia, bone spurs, just general swelling, and a distaste for referees.
Yeah, but you probably got a serious, like, I mean, if you've been doing it that long, you probably got, like, a serious, like, cagey veteran gym game. You know what I mean?
I do. Mafia, how's my game? Can you give Sean an idea, Mafia, of how my game is?
Very strong.
Double-double machine?
Yes.
Thank you. Double-double machine, Sean. All right, let's talk about double-doubles, as in hitting doubles. Tell me about the Springer guy once again going off for the Astros in the postseason, and how this team, frankly, gets no respect at all for being World Series champions.
Yeah, I think some of that lack of respect or perceived lack of respect has to do with the fact that they're playing games at 12:30 in the afternoon during the postseason, and they're the defending World Series champs. But I think people know why those decisions are what they are. If you're in the broadcasting business, it's Boston and New York, and I think most people get that. George Springer and Alex Bregman, it's kind of funny, Scott. If you had looked at this Astros team a couple of years ago before they became this kind of postseason juggernaut, and you would have said, hey, in 2 years, who are they going to be the guys that are kind of fueling this whole thing? Most people would have said Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa. And they're both really good play. Obviously, Altuve is an MVP, and Correa is a really talented guy who's had a bad year. But the two guys that really fuel this thing from a clutch hitting standpoint, from a scaring the opposition standpoint, are Springer and Bregman. They're kind of the heartbeat of this team. And Springer is on this string right now, 7 home runs in 7 postseason games. I think only 3 other guys have ever done it. You know, Lou Gehrig, Reggie Jackson, I think Carlos Beltran's the other one. And he's a remarkable player, man. And the funny thing is, like, this whole string of home runs started back in the World Series last year, where he struck out 4 times in Game 1, and the talk then was, are they going to move him down in the lineup? And now here we are, 7 home runs later. They're a fun team to root for. I think this is probably kind of what it felt like to root for the Yankees back in the late 90s, where they just had this core of players that you knew were going to come through in these big situations.
Sean Pendergast with us from 610 in Houston. So the game on Saturday, I think, is Sale and Verlander. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, Justin Verlander is an absolute badass. I think this is a huge game. I know it sounds crazy. It's a 7-game series. But I always feel like that first game, and, you know, they're on the road for this game. It's a huge game. And I think they understand the importance of it. If you win that game, it kind of changes everything, the home field, all the rest.
Yeah, and I tell you, as you know, someone who roots for the Astros, I was really hoping that this ALDS between the Yankees and the Red Sox would have gone 5 games, because then that just would have thrown everything out of kilter for whichever team came out of that series. Sale would have been pushed back. You know, it would have been David Price starting game one against Verlander. As it is, Price is going to start game two against Gerrit Cole, which is no picnic for the Red Sox, but. Yeah, it's a huge game. The Astros have had, I think, two reasons why Astros fans are optimistic about it, other than the fact that, like you said, Verlander is just a flat-out beast. They've been a really good road team this year. They were 57-24 on the road during the regular season, and they've had good luck against Chris Sale. They've hit Chris Sale pretty well, and Sale hasn't really been all that in the postseason historically in his career. This is an Astros team that just is supremely confident regardless of whatever situation they're in. So I think even if they lose game one, I don't think it's a team that's going to, you know, I don't know that that's going to, you know, send them sideways or anything like that. They're pretty workmanlike, and they'll, you know, I think they feel really good about Gerrit Cole pitching game two.
I got to be honest with you. I think David Price sucks. And it's like every time he pitches now in a big game, he gets lit up.
Yeah, I was on a Boston station, you know, our affiliate up in Boston tonight, doing an interview on one of the local shows up there. And they said, what do you think the respect level is for David Price among Astro fans? And I said, not that high, you know, close to zero.
Yeah, none.
Because he's terrible in the postseason. Like, like I said, you know, everybody down here was rooting for that series to go 5 games, because then you're going to get Price against Verlander. And to me, Verlander's a heavy favorite. I think Gerrit Cole's going to be a favorite over Price in game two. But, yeah, Price, I look at this Red Sox team, and I'm like, man, I don't know how they won 108 games this year. You know, like, they're a good team, obviously. But, you know, usually a team that wins 108 games has some real hammers in the rotation, you would think. And they've got a good starting rotation, but – I don't think their starting rotation stacks up to what the Astros are going to throw at them, 1-4, with Verlander and Cole, and then Keuchel and Morton after that.
Do you think they'll, if they, let's say they win this thing in against Boston, do you think they repeat then and handle their business no matter what?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do. I guess the danger is, you know, maybe you go 7 with Boston, and whoever comes out of the National League has their, you know, is able to get their rotation lined up and everything. Or it's one of those things where everybody's telling you that this is the real World Series. You know, this ALCS is the real World Series, which is what a lot of people are saying because of how stout these two teams are. And then you just take your opponent lightly. But I think in a 7-game series, it's really hard to go in and take it up. And maybe one, you know, like in a game one, maybe something like that, you get a wake up call. But over a 7-game series, you know, more often than not, the better team is going to win. So there's a huge confidence level. I don't know if it's overconfidence. We'll find out. But, you know, this team is battle-tested from last year. So I do think that whoever comes out of this ALCS, and I'm, you know, this is not some, you know, I didn't just discover plutonium by giving you this take. I think whoever comes out of this series is going to win the World Series.
So Sean Pendergast with us. I got to ask you, so because they're so good, which I totally buy into, I'm a fan of what they're doing. They're legit to me. They're total respect. Do you believe that they have kind of hurt the, like, Rockets and Texans in the capacity of, like, that they close the deal and they win championships, and then you know what happens to the Rockets is, like, it's very depressing when you go 7 always and lose. And then the Texans, you know, kind of go to playoff games and they lose too. So the Astros have become the deal in Houston, have they not? And then does it hurt, like, the Rockets, who have this great team that can't finish?
Yeah, it's they've upped the ante for sure. And I think, the Texans, I'll keep it to the Texans specifically, just because we're 5 weeks into football season. And the station I'm on is the Texans flagship. I do the post game and the pregame show for the Texans.
Right.
So I'm acutely aware of where the Texans kind of stack up right now and what the vibe is on them. And of course they got off to an 0-3 start, and everybody's angry that they can't score in the red zone, and Deshaun Watson is getting his ass kicked every game because the offensive line stinks. The thing is, you know, football being what it is in Texas, it takes a lot to chip away at the Texans just from a relevance standpoint. You know, there's angst over the Texans right now, but it doesn't make them irrelevant. Whereas I do think the Astros are every bit as relevant as the Texans, and they're well-liked. And it's not just because they won the World Series, but it's a really likable team. You know, the players are likable. You know, there aren't many guys on that team that are hard to root for. Maybe Alex Bregman is the exception. He's kind of cocky, and he says some things, and I could see where people who don't live in Houston would get it. They're going to get a heavy dosage of him these next couple weeks because he had a great season, and he's very outspoken. But for the most part, it's a team that's really easy to root for. They clearly love each other. The chemistry on the team is great. So, yeah, the Astros, and it's amazing how quickly it happened. 5 years ago, they were 51-111, Scott. They were 51-111 five seasons ago in 2013, and now they're the toast of the town.
So do the Texans handle their business against the Bills, and is Watson with his chest and everything okay for that game?
I think so. You know, both Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, he's got to be sore, first of all. I mean, he's taken so many hits this year. Some of them his fault. You know, that Sunday night game, the biggest hits he took other than the interception, you know, the QB hit on the interception late in regulation, most of the big hits he took were his own decisions to run with the football, or they were design runs that Bill O'Brien called. O'Brien and Deshaun both said today that he is going to play on Sunday, but it was a weird day yesterday because we know Deshaun's taking a lot of punishment, and I know you can appreciate this. Yesterday morning, you know, we're at the station, and just you know, one of the hosts of the midday show is just looking at some lines of games. He goes, "Man, the Texans are down to -1 at this one sports book," and then he looks at another one. He goes, "They're off the board at this one, and they're off the board at this one." I said to him, "I said, man, the off the board, something's up." And sure enough, an hour later, there's a report that Deshaun Watson is day-to-day with a chest injury. So, as you know, the gambling community, you know, if you want to follow the truth, follow the money. And the gambling community was all over this, you know, the Deshaun potential for injury before the regular media was. It was a strange day, but at the end of the day, it looks like he's going to play on Sunday. They got to keep him healthy, though. You know, O'Brien's got to kind of rethink the way he's using Deshaun just in terms of putting him in harm's way. Because obviously we saw it last year. Once he goes down, the season goes down.
So what's the deal, lastly, here with the Rockets for the season? I mean, what do you do after you play as great as they did last year and still come up short? What is their, you know, obviously driving motivation here to somehow figure out a way to get past the Warriors? Is it impossible?
I don't think it's impossible. I think if Chris Paul doesn't tweak his hamstring last year, I think they probably beat the Warriors and go on to the NBA Finals. I don't think that's a controversial or outrageous take. They had a game 7 on their home floor, but Chris Paul couldn't play in that game. When Chris Paul was healthy and on the floor, this team was a big problem for the Warriors with the way they defended and you know, the way that they got after them on the perimeter. So I think a lot of it hinges on health, specifically with Chris Paul. One thing we knew the Rockets wouldn't do is just stand pat. Daryl Morey doesn't do that. So they went out and they got Carmelo Anthony, who, you know, through the short preseason seems to have mixed in pretty well. It seems like he's going to, you know, play nice and be a good soldier with Mike D'Antoni this time. I think Melo has an understanding of where he is in his career and what they're asking him to do. It'll be very interesting to see how he meshes over an 82-game season and mostly in the playoffs. This team is built to try to do one thing, and it's beat the Golden State Warriors. And one thing I do think Melo will bring that they clearly needed once Chris went down with the hamstring injury, they only had one guy who could go get buckets, and that was James Harden. So as much as people talk about defense with this team had – it sounds crazy because statistically they were a really good offensive team, but they needed another scorer too to kind of match some of Golden State's firepower. We'll see what Melo has in the tank.
Sean, killer stuff as usual, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. Keep rocking on afternoons on 610 in Houston. We'll catch up again real soon. I love it.
Appreciate it, my man. Thanks, Scott. Anytime.
All right, Sean Pendergast from Houston 610, talking about everything. Astros, Texans, Rockets. You get it all on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, the toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance? You get it all at geico.com. Help people affected by Hurricane Michael. Text Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, to 90999. That's text Michael to 90999 to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. I don't know. Did you guys see this thing make landfall? It's pretty crazy. It's a Cat 4 with like 150-mile-an-hour winds. It's crazy.
It's violent, man. It's crazy because like everybody that got hit in the Carolinas and stuff are going to get hit by this from the other side too. It's just when you're getting, you know, cleaned up from the one before, now this one's coming from the back end.
So that thing crashed into like Panama City and Tallahassee and all that?
Yeah.
And then I saw like...
around the Gulf Coast there.
Mississippi got it bad.
Yeah, I think it hit parts of Mexico too.
Really?
I mean, is this big?
So it's nasty. Now, is it moving to the point where I heard tomorrow it's going to rain all day here?
I think it's taking a hard curve, like, back towards the East Coast.
Really? And up the coast to us?
Yeah.
I don't understand how it could make landfall in Florida and then a day later be in New York. I really don't understand that.
I don't know if it's from the hurricane that we're getting rain tomorrow.
Really? Because I heard that's what it
when
was.
I was seeing, like, the path. It was saying that they was going to, you know, hit us maybe end of the weekend type of deal.
All right, did you see this thing? I hope everybody's okay down in the panhandle, the Gulf Coast, you know, everywhere, Florida, Mississippi, you name it, Louisiana. I hope everybody's all right wherever this thing is bashing tonight and nobody has power. The winds are a buck and a half. Damage everywhere. Did you see some of the damage? Like, there were buildings collapsing. I mean, literally.
It was a Cat 4. The storms are so strong that the wind is just blowing things down. It's like a big bad wolf coming through.
Houses, buildings, you name it. Businesses.
If it's not sound, it's going to take it out.
Anyway, I wish some of the flying shingles would have hit the refs tonight in our game. I mean that. Large chunks of debris.
You had a game tonight.
Chef, if I could punch you right now in the face through that glass window, I would punch you in the face. So, Mavi.
It was Mexico Beach, not Mexico that it is. It's been all mainly Florida.
I was like,
now.
Mexico?
I didn't know there was a Mexico Beach.
Mexico Beach. All right, so I knew it wasn't near Mexico. I'm like, Mexico. Anyway, did you see the kid tonight, the young kid in the game against us? He's like 18 years old, and he's that tall, skinny kid.
I did, yes.
Did you see him when he tried to like post me up, and I just grabbed him and threw him?
I did, yes.
Did you see me throw him?
Yes.
They didn't catch that. That was one thing they missed. I just took this kid. He was 18, and I just threw him. And that was the end of any kind of contact with him for the rest of the game. He wanted no part of me because he found out real quick that I am basically Rick Mahorn. I just took him and threw him. I just picked him up and threw the kid. And I was like, okay, you're done coming in here tonight, okay? Just so you know, you need to stay out there because you come in here, this is what's going to happen to you. And that was the end of him. It was kind of scary, though, because I think I scared the kid. He's like 18. He's like, that guy just threw me. And I was like, yes, I did. I just wanted to let people know that I'm willing to play any kind of game you want, violence, whatever it takes. Throwing
people. Coming like tomorrow night through Friday. Like, we're going to get the edge of it. I don't think it's going out to sea at the current projections to go south of us. We're going to get the edge.
But we're going to get the rain.
We'll get some of the rain on the edge, right. Yeah.
Will that affect our ability to rebound? Because we got out-rebounded 36-23.
No, but we may not be watching TV tomorrow night.
Is that – oh, in here, the TV will be out.
Probably.
Is there anything – what is there? Is tomorrow Thursday?
Tomorrow's Thursday. You got the Thursday night football. You got the TCU Texas Tech game, right?
What a thrill that is for everybody. Nothing like watching TCU not matter again in college football.
A game for the under between the Eagles and the Giants. Gonna be lots of rain.
I can't even believe what I'm watching. This guy here with his broken hip walking around. I can't even believe Peter Schwartz. I mean, I see because I haven't seen him in months. Maybe like since last football season, right? Has it been that long? I think it has.
I think June was the last time I was here during the
week. Don't lie to people, Pete. It's been a year. So, you are literally 4 surgeries deep, and you're crippled. Like, I can't even believe watching you. It hurts me with my broken feet to watch you limp around, because you've seen me limp around.
Yes, I have.
But I'm a little, I do a little more like intense activities than you. Like I play basketball every day.
Yeah.
So you went out and played football. It took one time and then you broke your hip. Did you learn your lesson that you've no longer got it?
I'm not running routes anymore. I'll just have a catch.
I doubt that you'll be running any more routes in your career.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
51.
I think that is that pretty much the life lesson that you're done with your
athletics?
Especially
since the injury took place a day after my birthday.
Oh, well, that had something to do with it. Yeah. Do you think that but it's like ruined your life, hasn't it?
No, not really. I wouldn't say that. Well,
liar.
For a short time it did, but everything's almost back to normal.
So you haven't been able to walk in 4 months, but it was no problem?
Oh, no, it was a problem, but it could have been worse.
Did your wife get sick of running errands for you?
Oh, she's sick of driving, yeah.
Driving and doing it because you do
nothing.
I
can't drive until December 1st.
I will tell you a story real quickly about driving. You know what they did to my father this week, Mafia? Are you listening? They took my father's license from him.
Finally.
At 85 or 84 years old. They finally said, you are no longer allowed to drive.
Oh, please.
So they took his license. He's not allowed to drive.
Uh-huh.
He's not capable of driving anymore. So they.
Oh, please.
So he's got all these, you know, cars and everything, and he can't drive.
Wouldn't that wipe out half the cars in Florida?
I think it would. I think it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened. I think that, and I hate to say it, nobody wants to hear it, but I think once you're 85 years old or something, you should have to take a test and prove that you have the goods to drive.
Well, from the stories I've heard from your wife and kids, they're lucky he didn't wipe out half the cars in Florida.
Oh, like, my dad drives like right off the road. Like literally, he'll drive through yards, trees, people, baby strollers. He doesn't stay on the road. He's all over the place.
He's on his cell phone.
He's drinking coffee. He's on his cell phone. He's like, he's going the wrong way on a one way. I've seen him get on the freeway before on the wrong side of the freeway. He went right up the ramp. He has no idea what he's doing. He's blind, everything else. He can't do anything, and they finally took a license. Yeah. Now he can't go anywhere.
No, like, community bus or anything like that can take him around?
There's not going to be any of that. My dad's rich. He doesn't take the community bus. Can you imagine him like, all right, let me get the local. I'm going to get on the
please.
I'm going to get on the B route.
He'll have a driver then.
What I think he's going to do is his life is now over. I mean, is there anything worse than when they take your license from you and you're not allowed to leave your house?
Well, I kind of feel that way right now.
So he has to have his wife drive him everywhere now. She'll drive him to hell. That's what I think. Mafia
drive
knows
him to an early grave.
Drive him to an early grave.
Do you know what first place I'm driving on December 1st when my wife hands over the keys?
The liquor store?
No. Hockey game. Islander game that night.
I believe that. Your great Islander team. They've had so much success since the 70s.
They're doing pretty well right now.
Oh, they're just incredible. I'm sure it'll stand up, too.
I hope you guys
are on your way to the Stanley Cup, right, without John Tavares. You're going to be even better.
Who?
Here we go again with another one of these losers.
Who?
He's going to start saying, like, he doesn't matter when you guys were on your knees for him for 9 years. You got this on camera, Mafia. And then he leaves, and y'all hate him. You and Carver, you can't stand him now. But you were on your knees for him for 9 years. Yeah, Snake. Yeah, you know, shine off your face from the action you had from him for the last 9 years. Jesus Christ, you guys are pathetic. The way you treat that guy, that you guys were literally on your knees.
He lied.
Can you
say? Liar.
Can you say Hummer on the air?
Can we say
that?
He was a liar.
I mean, liar my ass.
He's a liar.
He did exactly what he's entitled to do.
He put his pajamas on
to
back
leave.
At home.
Oh, here we go again. He's in his PJs in a bedroom. And the Islanders are better off without him. Here we go.
Well, he saved $88 million.
Oh, yeah. Save money like you wouldn't have given him the money. Like you wouldn't have wanted him
to
stay.
It was offered to him.
You were on your knees.
It was offered to him.
You cannot sell me your load of shack right now about John Tavares. You are so full of shack. I'd rather listen to you tell me about your broken hip.
Barzal is better.
I'm done listening to it. Shut up. Your team sucks. Don't tell me you're better without him as he's scoring hat tricks every night in Toronto.
Yeah, because he's trying now.
Oh, please. Now he sucks all of a sudden, right? He's the biggest crook and thief ever.
Stole money for 9 years.
The Islanders are going to win the Stanley Cup.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, they're on their way. I mean, they're just a juggernaut. Jesus, Pete, you should listen to yourself.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Shep, do you think a guy that doesn't play ever, that never plays ball, right, that that shows up for the game or whatever and never plays, he never plays, but he's like 6'4", 210, so he just thinks he's this great player that, you know, should be starting. Do you think that that guy should be starting in a basketball game that when he never plays basketball?
Well, how good is the player?
Well, he walks out on the court every time he plays like he's a starter. He just thinks he's automatically in the starting rotation. Meanwhile, you know, Monty and I play 5,000 hours of basketball a month. And I play everywhere, street, indoors, outdoor, you name it. I play everywhere. And then, like, I'm not having some dude that never plays, like, you know, play in front of me. It's not happening. Like, I'm cool. Mavia knows I'm a sixth man. I'll play off the bench any day of the week. In fact, for 5 years, you've seen me come off the bench as the sixth man.
You're Hondo.
I'm a scorer. Right. So if you bring me in after 10 minutes and everybody's gassed, I start lighting people up.
But how good is he?
He's not good.
Oh, but then he shouldn't be on the
Mavia
court.
Mavia knows it's true.
Yeah,
do you think that dude should start?
Absolutely not.
I mean, of all people, should he play the least in the game?
Probably.
Refund. Like, are you kidding me? I'm done with it. You're going to see what happens next week. I'm going to be like, bro, sit down. You're sitting. You don't matter. Like, shoot a free throw or something once a year, you know? Play once a year and then call me. Wussy. Mafia, I'm mad at everyone. People that didn't even show up for the game tonight, I'm mad at. And Mavi and I are driving to work tonight. At least three people tried to kill us, and he blamed me for that, too. Remember the guy swerved into me, you know, just like we were going to die? And I'm, like, trying to save your life there, and you're like, it's your fault because you're so angry.
Said nothing of the sort.
Liar!
When you're driving at 85 and almost killed us, then it's your fault.
Liar! So I want to ask you a very important question about this country, Mafia, and politics and football.
Uh-oh.
Did you see the story I sent you?
I briefly looked at it, yes.
Don't lie. So Trump, the president of the United States, has, you know, he's affected football. Do you believe that? Like, in some capacity or another, do you think that he's hurt the NFL?
Everyone claims that just because of, you know, he has his base that kind of goes with what he says, but I don't think it's him. I mean, yeah, people get turned off by the national anthem, but just because he said something wasn't the reason. People were turned off by that before he ever came along.
There are at least five Trump-leaning markets with the worst NFL ratings drops that they've ever had. The worst plunge was in Phoenix. Trump was strong. Cardinals, not so strong.
Yeah, the team sucked. That's why people weren't watching.
Last year, too?
Yeah.
Okay. There was no delusion in 2017. TV audience tank falling 27% across the area. The Cardinals limped to a 500 record in the second straight season, missing the playoffs. All right, there you go. Fair enough. Houston, the next biggest drop was in Houston. The region voted Trump in 2016, but the far more likely explanation for the rating slide is that fans lost interest after J.J. Watt broke his leg. So that guy got injured and
you lost J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson and your season. Again, the team sucked.
There you go. Indianapolis was snake bit.
Who had no Andrew Luck and was playing
right.
Jacoby Brissett. They sucked.
So that was why no one watched.
Yes, if your team sucks, you don't watch.
Ratings plunged more than 20%. In 2016, the Cowboys ripped off 11 straight wins. In 2017, they didn't even make the playoffs. Distance didn't help, as those markets saw a far bigger drop than in Dallas, down 6%. So,
no Zeke for six games, no viewers.
The nature of partisanship in those areas may have played a role. You have factors that are hard to figure out. The regional base, the southern nature of Oklahoma City and Little Rock, and Arizona is similar. Grounding of politics, and of course not having a good team definitely hurt. So Trump won the election by double digits. Oklahoma City and Little Rock are Cowboys country. Ratings dropped 20% there. So the Vikings ran roughshod over the NFL, clinching a first round bye in the playoffs for the first time since 2009. But interest there was high. That's because they were winning. And then the effect was true regardless of politics. New Orleans, where Trump won by double digits. The Saints saw their football fortunes rise in 2017, winning eight consecutive games and sweeping the division rival Panthers after an 0-2 start. The Saints saw market ratings climb 13%. Eight of the 12 markets where the home team made the playoffs saw ratings increase. Gee, go figure. Six of the eight non-playoff markets with declining ratings, the home team lost at least half of its games. Do you believe that Trump, when he started saying that the NFL had a problem because of protesters and kneeling and that they wouldn't stand for the national anthem, and then people stopped supporting the NFL, watching the NFL, going to NFL games, buying NFL merchandise, Do you think that Donald Trump did all that to the NFL?
No, I don't. As we just disproved, you know, all these teams that had big drops in their ratings last year had big drops in their wins last year, had guys who were their star players that were hurt and were missing and just weren't worth watching. I mean, if you're going to say that the NFL's ratings are simply because he went against them and talked about the anthem, then are you going to blame him for the Chargers moving and no one showing up there for years? Are you going to blame him for all the media blackouts they had, you know, down in Jacksonville before the team got good? No. People don't watch when the team's not good. Now that you're getting sports betting in certain areas of the country, and as it gets more widespread, maybe some of that will come back because, of course, you're going to get more interest in, you know, teams outside of your area if you've got money on them. But other than that, if the team is bad, that's when the ratings slip.
The most telling example of football overwhelming politics is Pittsburgh, where the president won 55% of the vote. As the president criticized the sport, the Steelers organization's reaction was a lightning rod. Mike Tomlin decided the team would remain in the locker room during the anthem for one game, a show of unity. Football got more Pittsburghers' eyeballs, though. TV ratings for Sunday Night Football in the market were up whether the Steelers were playing or not. Their top-rated Sunday night game in 2017 against the Lions in late October rated 3 points higher in Western Pennsylvania than the Steelers' lone Sunday night game the year before. So I just don't know if you can prove that politics have anything to do with NFL ratings.
No, just another thing, like just about everything that he does where he likes to take credit, like it's all him doing everything, you know, whether someone had something to do with it before he got into office or someone else is doing something and he just takes credit for it. It's just the typical political thing. Like, oh, it's because of him that this is happening. No, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world besides our psycho president tweeting about the national anthem. Just because he says something doesn't mean everybody follows.
What about cord-cutting consumers that switch
to
streaming?
That's a big thing, too. No, millennials are, I don't have it. I got rid of regular cable. I'm streaming online. A lot of people are going towards that because the prices have been so high. You look at even the price of, you know, like the Sunday football, you know, just for the Red Zone channel.
Red Zone.
Like, how much did that cost? Hundreds of dollars a season. People are finally saying, you know what? It's not worth it. Screw you. I'll go to the bars. I'll steal it online. They're going other ways than just going typical cable.
So you don't watch cable anymore?
I have it on. I have a streaming service. I do PlayStation View over the internet. There's all these services that pop up, whether it's them, whether it's Hulu. There's, you know, 12 different ones at least that you can get.
What do you do, Shaq?
I just watch it on my iPhone, to be honest with you. Well, I just do 7-day free trials and just keep doing it on different email accounts.
Really?
Really. Why not?
So wait a minute. That's pretty smart, right? So
that's the smartest thing you said all night.
Well, every once a month.
So wait. You just sign up for free streaming on different email accounts every... How many email accounts can you make up?
I mean, you can make up as many as you want. I mean, thank God for Gmail, right? It's not like you can do it for, like, if you work for Entercom or, you know, CBS or something like that. You can't have more than one email, right?
Right.
But if you can have... Well, if you have AOL, you got to pay for AOL. But Gmail's free.
So you just can make up a new one every day?
You can make up a new... You can make 10 new ones every day.
And then stream forever.
Forever.
For free.
And you can give the email addresses to people that you know. So you just have like an email pool. And you just keep using each other's email. It's beautiful. And I'm not the only one that does that.
Just admitted to a felony on air.
Is that what? No, what? That's not a felon thing. You're entitled to a 7-day or a 14-day free service.
You just admitted to fraud on the air.
Hands up against the car, son.
Is that, wait, no, is that fraud?
Do you have any sharp objects in your pockets?
Police is coming. It's cold 10.
Hands up against the car, son. We're going to have to take you in. We are not detaining you. We're arresting you.
They want to retroactively charge
you. Roger, better. Romeo, Whiskey, Velveeta. We have a cable thief. Roger, streaming cable thief. Roger.
No.
Roger, lard ass. Roger.
Pharrell.
18-30-40, Whiskey, Romeo, Velveeta, slices, lard ass. Roger, lard ass.
I'm not pirating.
Lard ass. Roger.
I'm not pirating TV or anything like that.
Roger, 80. Roger. Roger, Roger. Roger. Velveeta, Romeo, Whiskey, Roger, Velvet, Larda. Roger, Larda.
I'm not stealing someone's network on a subway, right? And taking
Shep, have you stolen
bank
someone's virginity lately?
Say my name.
I haven't been on a date in maybe a year, to be honest with you.
Who are you talking to right now?
What's going on there, Shep?
You think you see?
Why is that happening? Why have you not gone on a date? Didn't you used to go speed dating when I knew you?
I did speed dating, app dating, online dating.
What is it? What is
circle
it?
Dating?
What's the problem?
The problem is I'm just done, Pharrell.
What do you mean? You're a good looking guy. You got a great you're in perfect shape, zero body fat. You're a great athlete. You got a great couple of jobs.
Thank you. I mean, you
know, do you like working better, Shep, as a like part time there and here, having both jobs than actually when you were full time with me? Is it better?
The hours are tough, Pharrell. That's the only drawback to working with you, is the hours. That's it.
Oh, wait. So working with me sucks because it's 10 to 2?
No, I didn't say that. I said the only drawback of working, and it's not you.
Right.
It's the shift itself. It's the hours.
You mean this shift?
Yeah.
Well, what's so bad about it?
You don't
know. What else would you be doing at 10 to 2 in the morning? I always tell this to Mafia. What else would you be doing besides sitting on your ass?
TV, apparently.
Well, stealing TV.
I play a lot of chess online, too. Email.
Did you just say that?
I did.
You wonder why you don't get a leg?
Pharrell.
It's because you're playing chess.
Pharrell.
Okay?
Pharrell.
Tough guy. Chess
you're
is for...
You're focusing on her problems instead of looking in the mirror.
So you're telling me that the reason... So you're playing chess and stealing cable?
You know what? Howard Stern is almost a grandmaster. He has no problem with
stuff from my friend.
But I think smart people play chess. I'll give you that. You got to be really smart to play chess.
Ask Bill Gates.
I don't have time to play chess. I'm too busy playing basketball like a man. You can play all those board games.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.